Welcome back to Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. This week, the Lansing Board of Water and Light Board of Commissioners moved closer to approving a plan that would lead to a business case for keeping the utility a city-owned asset. Recently, the city's financial health team, led by former Mayor David Hollister, has been studying the feasibility of selling city assets, including the BWL. In comments in the Lansing State Journal, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, who ordered the Hollister study, called the BWL's move premature, inappropriate, and politically motivated. Yesterday afternoon, I sat down with Lansing City Council member Carol Wood to get her views on this, as well as on plans of more city police and code enforcement hiring announced recently. I first asked Carol Wood what she makes of the BWL commissioner's decision.
Well, I'm pleased that the Board of Water and Light Commissioners have come out, and especially since they're advocating in that position for a public utility, that they've made a statement about the fact that they want to keep a public utility. So the fact that the commissioners are looking at making a public statement about that, I think that's fantastic. Again, when they're appointed, one of the things that are is they should be advocating for whatever board it is that they're appointed for. And knowing that they are commissioners for the Board of Water and Light, I would hope that they would want to make sure that this stayed a public utility. The fact that they, again, and I believe part of this has to do with the amount of rhetoric that's been out there about the potential sale or investigating a sale or all of those buzzwords, that finally the commissioners felt that it was important for their voice to be heard, not only by the public, but by the employees, as well as the city council and the mayor's office, as to their feelings. So knowing that this passed, I believe the vote was 6-1, because there was one commissioner absent, I'm pleased that they're taking this up at their next meeting.
Well, former Mayor David Hollister of the city's financial health team is already leading a study of what selling the utility would mean, a feasibility study, I think it's been referred to. My understanding was that the Hollister study would presumably look at both sides of this thing.
And again, from a council perspective, we've only heard what has been repeated in the news. There has not been a sit-down with council to ask if there are things that council would like to have involved in this. We are not part of any study committee looking at this. And so knowing what charge he's looking at or why is something that council has not been privy to. For me personally, I do not support selling the Board of Water and Light, and I think it sends an irresponsible message to the public, to both business and employees, with the fact that as you're looking at long-term investments in our community, are you looking at doing it with a privately owned utility or a publicly owned utility? And there is a difference in rates for those. And will that affect their bottom line? And I think that as we look to business to continue making those advancements in our community, that when there's this uncertainty about one thing that all businesses need, and that's utilities, whether this makes any sense to continue this type of rhetoric.
Well, does it suggest, though, to you that the BWL board is worried that the scales are weighed in favor of a sale? And do you share that concern, if so?
I do. I do, sir, share that concern. Again, as much respect as I have for Dave Hollister, they've already made a recommendation. The financial health team said that that should be a consideration back when they gave us their first report. So if I'm already believing that based on information I had back then, that I think that this is something that should be done, I would have the tendency, I think, to weigh some of my assertions out there based on the fact that we put forth an argument in the beginning to have this happen. So again, for me, I think it's irresponsible that we continue this rhetoric.
Carol Wood is a member of the Lansing City Council. She joins us here today on WKAR's Current State. We'll point out that the full Board of Water and Light Board of Commissioners is scheduled to vote on the measure on Tuesday, the 28th. Let's move on to hiring and the job situation. The police department eventually plans to add 25 police officers. Code enforcement appears to be moving toward filling some number of open positions. I take it you have mixed feelings about this development. Talk to us about that.
Well, first of all, talking about the police department, these are already positions that are open that have been funded, meaning we don't have an officer in that position, but we have the money to put somebody in that position. We have, for a number of years, worked on what's called a vacancy factor that's part of our budget. What we do is we have a negative number in the budget that is attributed to spaces where people might retire, transfer, leave the job system, and know that that's a savings that we'll have for maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month. But the goal is to fill those positions. As of our March numbers, and again, I'm talking about March of this year, we had over 117 open positions, meaning that there was money for those positions, but there was no one hired to fill those positions. And of those 117, there are 25 police officer positions. What that means is the public is getting less services based on the fact that you have less people doing the job. We all know that no matter how hard you work, when there's a job that requires two people, if you're doing that job for both people, something falls through the cracks.
How big an issue is that for you, and how big an issue is that for other people, for other members of the city council?
Well, I think when you look at the departments that have vacant positions and how they interplay with the public, it becomes a huge issue. And as recently we understand code compliance as an example. If I have a new piece of property or looking to do a reinspection of a piece of property, if I pay my money today, I have one gentleman that told me he paid for his inspection fee, reinspection fee on June 11th. He won't have a reinspection of this property till December 5th. So when you look at the time lag for that, how many things end up, again, slipping through the cracks that should have been taken care of?
The city accounts for unfilled positions in the accounting process. It's called the vacancy factor, mm-hmm. as you said, and it saves money this way.
Correct.
Saving revenue in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the city has often been challenged in terms of revenue, less so recently. Can it be argued that not all these positions need filling?
If that were the argument, then at the beginning of each fiscal year during our budget process, we would have had the administration say that we're going to remove these off the org chart. And we've done that. Police department, as an example, we have reduced the police department in my 15 years on council by 100 officers. Those were positions that became unfilled. We saw that we could do without them, and those positions weren't funded the next year. We've done that with a number of departments. We are now down to bare minimum. Yes, does the vacancy factor help balance the budget? Yes, but when you look at, again, the fiscal year that we just ended, that number that we were to achieve was 800,000. We actually achieved $1.1 million with that. $300,000 more than what we thought we were going to. But are there $300,000 worth of issues that have fallen through the cracks?
So you would argue that the revenue exists, it's been budgeted, and important services are not being met?
Absolutely.
Okay. It seems relevant to ask whether the city's HR office in particular is understaffed.
Well, as a perfect example, we don't have an HR director. We have an interim director, and that interim director happens to be the city attorney. I believe that the city attorney's office is extremely vital. It handles a number of issues out there. Does that director need to be directing two departments? I think in a city this size, no. But that's where we are. We haven't hired a new director for HR. Should it be done? Absolutely.
Seems like an unusual combination of responsibilities to me.
It is, but you will see in some smaller communities where the HR director and the city attorney might be the same position.
Okay.
In some smaller communities. But again, in this community, and the fact that it is taking us so long to hire people, I would attribute that part of that comes again with not having the permanent HR director dealing with these issues.
The city has a unionized workforce. AFSCME, UAW, what do union leaders have to say about all these unfilled positions that could have dues-paying members in them?
They'd like them filled. You know, it's as simple as that.
Is that creating tension?
Well, I think what it does is, from not necessarily a union perspective, but let's just talk about the employees themselves. The ones that are skipping lunches and skipping breaks and working after, and they're, you know, and that's because they are so dedicated, they want to get the job done, and knowing that those resources aren't out there to help get those jobs done. It creates tension in the workforce. It creates illnesses and things like that because of the stress. So yes, we need to get these positions filled. And if the administration believes that these positions should come off the org charts and that the work is getting done, then explain it to council. But that's not what I'm hearing out there. That's not what I'm hearing from the workers. That's not what I'm hearing from the public. And so, again, we need to get these positions filled.
Do you expect this situation to change?
Not the way it's working right now. No, I don't.
Has the mayor weighed in on this situation?
No.
I mean, he can be vigilant regarding budgets. Is he okay with this, given the savings that it realizes?
Well, I'm sure he's looking at the savings end of it. And again, I think some of those savings can be achieved by the fact that you have a workforce that is retiring. You have promotions. You have those abilities. But you don't need to leave. And again, this is as of March. You don't need to leave 117 positions open. My understanding is, and I'm still waiting to receive the June 30th information, that we're closer to 170 positions that are open. Mm. You know, these need to get filled.
Carol Wood of the Lansing City Council, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.